Hi everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. It is April the 3rd, 2023. It is the Monday of Masters Week. I am Ryan Ballengeek. It's great to have you here with us. We have a lot to talk about over the weekend. A little bit muted in some respects, at least related to the PGA Tour, but we did have some other important golf. And we'll go over a couple of the highlights, and then we'll get into everything around the Masters. We'll get into Gary Player being sad and seemingly wanting to try to not be an honorary starter anymore. He's talking like a guy who's trying to lose his job, if you've ever tried to do that in your life. Let's get to a couple of the highlights from the weekend that was. Rozang won the Augusta National Women's Amateur. She entered the final round with a 5-shot lead, and that turned out to not be good enough to win it in regulation. She had a very difficult final round. Jenny Bay played well, got into a playoff with Rose. They played one playoff hole. They both made par on 18. Then they played number 10. Second shots, Rose found the green. Jenny Bay did not. She wound up in a bush area to the left of 10 green. Valiant effort to try and just hold the green, hit the green with her next shot. Could not do so. Rose two-putted, wound up winning. She has accomplished pretty much everything that there is to accomplish as an amateur player in the women's game. She has said she would like to stay all 4 years at Stanford, and she's going to be on a mega team for as long as she's there, if she so wishes. But at this point, having checked off pretty much everything there is to do, if not everything there is to do at a high level, at the amateur level in golf, I don't see a reason why she's going to continue to do that, but we shall see what happens. Congrats either way on a tremendous win to Rozang. Then on the PGA Tour, Corey Connors won the Valero Texas Open for the time. The last time he won it, became the last guy and still the last guy to win as a Monday qualifier on the PGA Tour. This time, he doesn't need to do that. Winds up winning it in a close one in the end, but does win the golf tournament for the second time, second tour win. And, oh, by the way, he has a really good Masters record. So just in case you were wondering if any kind of momentum helps his chances this week at the Masters, that could be quite interesting. Not saying he's going to win, but just saying he plays the Masters quite well. Then on LIV, Brooks Koepka won for the second time in, I think it's six starts on LIV. He won the Saudi Arabia event, if I remember right. And then he won this past weekend's event at LIV Golf Orlando, which really isn't in Orlando, but the Orlando area, at Orange County National Golf Club, the Crooked Cat course. It's a really easy golf course. I played it not too long ago for a family trip and played it the year prior. So I don't think you can necessarily take a whole lot away from the golf course in particular, but this was one of Liv's closer events. It was a one-stroke win. I think it was a one-stroke win in the team thing. Those things don't typically turn out to be all that close. Those are usually 5-6-stroke affairs. So between Brooks Koepka and Sebastian Munoz and Patrick Reed playing well, and I believe Dean Burmester played well too. A number of those guys are going to be going down to the Masters, and probably will get Patrick Reed and Brooks Koepka on people's radars all of a sudden for the. So we have Masters Week. It is going to be one of the most anticipated in a long time. I know we keep ratcheting this up every year as media. Oh, it's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be better. It's going to be bigger. I mean, eventually, it's going to pop, right? But it just seems to be everything coming together all at once. You've got Scottie Scheffler playing great. You've got Jon Rahm, who had a great start to the year. Rory McIlroy's playing well. Seems to have found something with a putter. You've got over on the LIV side, not saying that the golf isn't all that great necessarily, but you do have a bunch of LIV players who are competing this week, and some of them have started to find their form. And that goes outside of Brooks Koepka winning. You've got Dustin Johnson, who's been playing better. You've got Cam Smith, who's been playing better. Patrick Reed has been a bit erratic, but he has played pretty well this year and two different times in the stand, once at a LIV event, once on the DP World Tour when he almost got Rory McIlroy at the Dubai Desert Classic. So there's a lot coming together, and that's just the golfers. Then you've got the inherent drama of the lengthening of Augusta National. Number 13 is longer now by, 40 yards? I think it's 35 on the scorecard, if I remember right. It's 35 or 40. But that hole has changed dramatically, and I think people are going to notice that in a big way this week. You've got some subtle changes that Augusta National is not even going to talk about, but the players might discuss a little bit over the course of the next few days. So we'll get a little handle on some of the more subtle things we have seen change at Augusta National. You've got Fred Ridley, who's going to be talking on Wednesday, the chairman of Augusta National. He's going to be talking about, I assume, the lengthening of the golf course. He's going to be talking about future plans for the Masters tournament. I'm sure he's going to be talking about whether he will choose to have LIV golfers competing and invited to the Masters in future years. He has held out the possibility. I mean, after all, this is an invitation tournament that maybe LIV guys won't be back. We'll see what happens there. Many of them are going to be eliminated because they won't be in the top 50 in the world after this year. So there's that. You've got an opportunity to talk about the potential support of a rollback. Fred Ridley used to be the USGA president, and while that is somewhat of a ceremonial role in many ways, he has a very large influence over golf and has become an important partner for the USGA in some of their efforts. So if he comes out this week in support of this proposed model local rule, which would allow for different equipment standards, particularly for the ball for high-level golfers, elite golfers, then I think that starts a cascade of support that I don't know if the PGA Tour's players who don't like this idea, which is most of them, could overcome. We shall see. And then you've got all the LIV drama. You've got the Champions Dinner on Tuesday. You've got past winners from who are going to be in the room with all of the legends of the game, with the PGA Tour players who have won and have stuck around. What will that be like? Will we hear anything about it? I doubt it, but I'm sure there will be a lot of palace intrigue. Then we've got a revamped par 3 course with some better views, some changed greens, new strain of grass, which will be kind of interesting. That could actually be a low-key agronomy story that sets up future changes to Augusta National, the tournament course itself, not the par 3 course, which that could signal a big change in how Augusta National is grassed. I mean, that is a big deal from a tournament conditions standpoint. Oh, by the way, the weather is supposed to be terrible. It's supposed to be awful this week. Rain at least 3 days, maybe four. The park has been spared pretty much every year up until the last couple of years, and now I think it's been rained out twice the last few years, but at least once. And it may be subject to another rain out this year. We're going to see about that. Then you've got weather set. It's not going to be particularly warm. Last year, the weather was quite nice, and this year it's going to be rainy and pretty cold. So what does that mean for Tiger Woods' chances to make the cut, given that probably cold weather is not his friend? What does that mean for a softer golf course? They have the sub-air system throughout the property, so they can take moisture out of the greens and keep them at speeds, but at the top level, it may still be kind of soft. The rollout will not be there. They already mow into the players with the grain, but you may have an even more difficult time overpowering this golf course, because if you don't get a whole lot of roll, that's going to make it tougher for everybody, which that can make scoring quite a challenge this week. Which side of the draw are you on? Draw could matter depending on when the weather happens and how it happens and whether that causes delays. I don't want to throw out the word Monday too early, but and also it was going to rain on Monday apparently. So there is a lot of things that could be in store this week that are different, strange, compelling, worthwhile. And it all starts on Monday with a tweet from Rex Hoggard at Golf Channel, because he was in the media center, the beautiful media center that they have at Augusta National, permanent press building. And they put on the board that Tiger was out there in a practice round with Tom Kim, Fred Couples, and of all people, Bryson DeChambeau, because Bryson said that Tiger ghosted him, didn't even respond to a happy birthday text, isn't particularly friendly with him or something, but even though they got along, and I feel like they've gotten along in Bryson's quest over the last few years to kind of strengthen, bulk up, and approach the game a little bit differently than he had in the past. And I don't understand that. I have no idea. I mean, obviously the LIV PGA split Tiger takes very personally. He has really alluded to that explicitly, but it's kind of obvious. But apparently that was on the media center board of who was out for practice rounds. People were like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. And then they changed it. It turns out it wasn't Bryson DeChambeau who went off with Tiger, Tom Kim, and Fred Couples. It was Rory McIlroy. Now, who knows how that all worked out. There may be some cleanup to do there later of, well, that was never going to be the case, or maybe they found a different partner at the end. And Rory, I don't know. Don't know how that worked. But the intrigue of hitting Twitter was great. It shows you how everything is ratcheted up this week and in so many different ways. And then we're going to get into the second story of today's show, you know, Masters related, is the continued unraveling of Gary Player. Poor Gary Player. I mean, he's doing it to himself, but he went ahead and ranked the Masters 4th out of 4 in terms of importance. While I'm sure Augusta National wasn't happy to hear that, there was a rational explanation for it. We went over that. But then he just keeps on talking, and he keeps on digging himself a little bit of a hole here, and this one might be too deep of a hole. He was speaking with the Times overseas, and he talked about how he doesn't feel particularly welcome at Augusta National as a former champion, as a former three-time champion of this tournament. Said, quote, "After all I've contributed to the tournament and been an ambassador for them, I can't go and have a practice round there with my three grandchildren without having to beg a member to play with us. And there's always something that's terribly, terribly sad. I've played my role. I've won it three times. I was in the top 10 15 times. I made the most number of cuts in a row ever, 23. Yet here we are, struggling to get around. If it wasn't for the players, Augusta National would be just another golf course in Georgia. It's just sad, and I put great emphasis on sad that Augusta doesn't make you feel welcome in that regard because I helped make this tournament what it is," end quote. That's, oh man, like, why do people, and this is isolated to Gary Player, as people age, I feel like they reveal more of their grievances, and hey, that's, you're right. But I feel like the idea of holding them in so long, while you are still an honorary starter for this tournament, just doesn't work well. I don't like it. It doesn't, it's not like, oh, spicy. It's more like, oh, that's really sad. And his word is right. His commentary is sad. And I completely understand why you would want to go play practice rounds at Augusta National with family. But it's also a private club. It's also an invitational tournament. He is not a full member. Jack and Arnie was. Jack is a full member of the club. They ultimately gave them membership for their contributions to the tournament, the game. They didn't do that to Gary Player. Eamon Lynch wrote about that in his column this week, that Gary's an honorary member, which is, that's not the same. So he does have to have someone okay it for him to go out there. And hey, I get it. Gary Player has done a lot for the game of golf. He's won 9 major titles. He's won the Grand Slam. He's been an ambassador for the game. He is an honorary starter at the Masters Tournament. But at a certain point, just laying all of this out in public doesn't make sense. Like, if you have a problem with accessing Augusta National Golf Club, probably the best way to deal with that is privately, not in the public to complain to Augusta National Golf Club, which has over the years not taken particularly kindly to people who have made private business a public spectacle. And again, this likely goes back to, in some sense, Wayne Player messing things up during the first tee ceremony with Lee Elder while flashing that on-course golf ball sleeve during photos and video and just shamelessly behaving. And there's some other stuff apparently about ticket sales and things, and I don't know the extent of that, and I'm not going to get into that for a variety of different reasons. But for Gary Player to put himself in this position at this stage of his life, what happens on Wednesday morning? Does he even get on the tee box, or do they tap him on the shoulder like, hey, we appreciate your service, but you can't just run us down in the press and then suddenly show up on the first tee and wave at everybody and kiss babies like you didn't say anything. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go and apologize? Are you going to go and clear it up? Are you going to double down on it? If he does get to hit the ceremonial tee shot, that, you know, they do have the conversation after usually about it. And does that mean he's going to talk about it even more? Would he dare to talk about it at Augusta National Golf Club in a news conference? Would that happen? Which would be amazing unto itself. It just feels like a sudden unraveling for a guy who has a lot of pride, and obviously talks about himself a fair amount and gets ragged on for that. The guy's also accomplished a ton and does a lot of great charity work. But he also has some contradictions in that he slams LIV, but also is a Golf Saudi ambassador. Obviously, that's a line that's been drawn by Chairman Ridley. Well, he's been in lawsuits of explicitly telling players that they should not sign with LIV for fear they might not be able to play in the Masters tournament in the future. They haven't done anything about that yet. Probably wait till that lawsuit goes away until they make that move. But it just, I don't know. It just feels like Gary Player is not getting along right now. And obviously Arnold Palmer passed away. Gary Player's got this stuff going on. He's got the lawsuit with his other son. And then you've got, with Mark, and then you've got Jack Nicklaus fighting his own company in court. And that's going to bring in Greg Norman because the folks who own the Nicklaus companies, which is not Jack Nicklaus, that's Howard Milstein and the people behind 8 AM Golf who own Golf Magazine. They own it, really. And so they've brought in, they're trying to get documents from anything that Jack did with LIV, because apparently he was offered a ton of money to become the face of LIV, and the Nicklaus companies didn't want that, but Nicklaus was considering doing that, and then he promoted some tournament in Belgium for plenty of money. I don't even remember what that was. I think it was just a random DP World Tour event. I don't even know if that event is still around. I have to look at the schedule. But that's happening. And just in the background, you've got these incredible figures for the history of the Masters Tournament. And I don't know. The end of life is not... we've been told you're supposed to have, golden years. You're supposed to have some kind of years of glory before then all of a sudden it suddenly goes downhill. Everything goes wrong and... you know, your life practically ends at that point. But it feels like this is accelerated and it's happening too quickly. I don't know. Player's word, although he's describing how he's being treated by Augusta National, but it really how he and Jack are what they're going through right now in their lives and how they're perceiving their role in life is sad. I hope that something gets worked out here. This thing doesn't need to be a public matter. Obviously, it creates for very juicy content, and that's why we're talking about it. But it's that's not great. That really is not great. Wanted to go over the Masters schedule for this week, because if for whatever reason this is one of your first times ever watching the Masters, you kind of need to know what's going down. So Monday, Tuesday, players will be playing practice rounds. A lot of guys these days like to play nine holes. They like to play either the first nine or the second nine. And then they kind of alternate days. If you're a first-time contestant, you're probably getting in as much as you can. Wednesday is the par 3 contest, kind of a rolling schedule there. You sign up if you want to play, and then you figure out a tee time. It's not as formal as the Masters Tournament. You'll get tee times for the first two rounds. They all go off the first tee. I assume that they will plan to do that, and they will have the backup plan in place if they need to have delays. Whether they need to go in threesomes or sooner or 1 in 10, all of those things are a possibility given the weather forecast. So we'll have that on Thursday and Friday and make a cut. The Masters cut is frankly the easiest to make in the major championships because of the limited field. We have 87 players in the field this week. I think it's still 87. Aaron Wise withdrew, so he's taken time away from just golf to deal with kind of his mental health, which... yes, I can always support that. Obviously, it's a big week. If you don't feel like you can perform or you get anxious or you're worried about this week, that's not going to be a fun experience. So there's that. There are no alternates to this tournament. If someone withdraws, they are not replaced. And so we'll get the final number as we go along here. But players are registering, getting all their bib stuff and all that stuff done. And I'm sure even a couple of guys that are stragglers will come in today and get that done. The history of the Masters Tournament is pretty important to know. If you're trying to predict a winner, there have only been three guys who have ever repeated as champion, Jack Tiger and Nick Faldo. By the way, Nick Faldo's history in this tournament is fascinating. He's been largely terrible if you look at the course of his career in the Masters, but his good finishes are wins, three of them, which is pretty crazy to consider. Same thing with Sandy Lyle. I mean, and this is probably his last Masters Tournament. If you think about just his career, a couple major wins, but really hardly any other top tens in majors. Really hardly, he's just, when he won a major, which is extremely interesting to me. I'm very interested to see if one of the older players can do well this week. Bernhard Langer is always someone people think about, so is Fred Couples. Fred Couples played okay a few weeks ago on the PGA Tour Champions in Newport Beach. Langer has already won this year. He tied the PGA Tour Champions win record with Hale Irwin. He almost did it a few weeks ago at that Newport Beach tournament. Did not come out well on Sunday, but he's playing good golf. Definitely long, though, and if the weather forecast is not good, I'd be reluctant to like him for much of anything. But there is always a look there. And then we'll see what the amateur guys can do. This tournament has maintained its tradition of inviting amateur players to compete, even if they aren't necessarily a threat to win. But I still think it's one of the great standout features of this tournament that it honors the game's future and the amateur side, also honors the past pretty well. So we'll see what happens there. There's just a lot that's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 days. So buckle in, get excited for it, get ready for it. We'll talk about stuff said in news conferences. We'll talk about stuff that Chairman Fred Ridley says. That'll be Wednesday or Thursday show, depending on when we've recorded and when his news conference is. There's so much to get to over the course of this week. A lot of people do polls. A lot of people do Masters betting. If you're interested in those things, we have a show called The Press, which I will actually start filming this week. It'll be available on our YouTube channel, website, our OTT apps. It's 15, 20 minutes a day. We go over different facets of betting, and we'll talk about picks for this week and lots to consider there. So if you want to get in those topics, you can listen there. And then we have announced this already, but I want to get excited about it further. Going to Ireland. Going to Ireland at the end of August, the first week of September. I'm so excited to be going. Have the flights in hand now, so it certainly feels very real. I mean, leaving from Dulles, heading to Dublin. It's going to be so exciting. My buddy Brendan Sweeney and I, Brendan's a contributor to the station, GNN Radio, and has been a friend for a long time. So we're going to go and drive ourselves around Ireland. We're going to play some great golf, have some great food. We will drink plenty of Guinness, I assure you. We will have some Red Feather. We'll have all kinds of great stuff to eat and drink in Ireland as we go around. It's one of my favorite places I've ever been. Can't wait to go and actually play golf this time. So we'll tell you more about that as the itinerary comes out. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll have some fun there too. But focus this week, Augusta National, every day. Masters Tournament, every day. We're going to try and do a couple of weekend shows this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Get you ready for the third and final rounds of the Masters Tournament. So we'll try to do 7 shows this week and keep it pretty active on these major weeks. Thanks so much for checking us out today. If you listen as a podcast, please consider subscribing. Leave a 5-star review. A comment helps us reach more people. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks for doing that. Please smash that like button. Consider subscribing to our channel. And if you're watching us somewhere else, thanks for doing that. We appreciate your time and interest. Check us out on GNN Radio all week. We're going to have some great content on the station for you. Masters-related, not Masters-related, but mostly Masters-related. We'll talk to you tomorrow on 2 at the First. Thank you so much for your time. I'm Ryan Balaji. We'll see you next time.